Though her apartment is now hung with her many paintings and collages, Rachel has not been able to write music since her accident in 1993. The chief reason for this is another sort of amusia, a lack of musical imagery. Before the accident, she used to compose in her head without a piano, straight onto manuscript paper. But now, she says, she cannot hear what she is writing. She once had the most vivid musical imagery, and as soon as she looked at a score, her own or another composer's, she could hear the music in her mind with full orchestral or choral complexity. This musical imagery has been virtually extinguished by her injury, and that makes it difficult for her to transcribe what she has just improvised, for as soon as she reaches for her manuscript paper, in the seconds it takes her to put pen in hand, the music she has just played evaporates from her mind. With the difficulty in imagery comes a difficulty in working memory, and this makes it impossible for her to retain what she has just composed. "This is the major loss," she told me. "I need a mediator between me and the printed page." A crucial breakthrough thus came for her in 2006, when she found a young collaborator and learned with him to use a music processing computer. The computer can hold in its memory what she cannot hold in her own, and Rachel can now explore the themes that she has created on the piano and transform them into notation or into the voices of different instruments. She can achieve a continuity with her own compositions and orchestrate or develop them with the help of her collaborator and her computer. Rachel has now embarked on her first large-scale composition since her accident 13 years ago. She has decided to take a string quartet, one of the last works she wrote before her accident, to disassemble it and reassemble it in a new way, as she says, to cut it into the wind, collect the parts, and put it together in a new form. She wants to incorporate the ambient sounds, which she is now so conscious of, to weave sounds together that are not meant to be musical, to compose a new sort of music. Against the background of this, she herself will improvise by breathing, singing, and playing a variety of instruments. Her work table, when I visited her, contained an alto recorder, a Chinese jade flute, a Syrian flute, plumber's brass tubing, bells and drums, and an assortment of wooden rhythm instruments. The sound, the music, will be interwoven with projections of visual forms and patterns provided by photographs she has taken. She played for me, on her computer, a small sample of the finished piece, which starts with breathing, a darkness. Though she agrees with Stravinsky that music does not represent anything but itself, when she composed this opening, her mind was full of the idea of coma and near death, a time when, for days, the sound of her own breathing, amplified by a respirator, was almost the only sound she heard. This opening passage is followed by incoherent fragments, a shattered world, as she puts it, representing her own broken awareness at a time when nothing made sense. There are agitated, strongly rhythmic pizzicatos at this point, and unexpected sounds of all sorts. Then comes a strongly melodic passage, her recomposing a world, and finally, darkness and breathing again. But a free breathing, she says, representing reconciliation, acceptance. Rachel thinks of this new piece, to some extent, as autobiographic, a rediscovery of identity. And when it is performed next month, it will be her coming out, her first return to the world of musical composition and performance, the public world, in 13 years.